As one really focuses on the lyrics of that song, then one understands exactly what it's getting at, and you know what that's like. If you don't, I hope by the end of the sermon you do. So great to be together. We welcome our visitors, and it's a blessing to be in this fellowship today and to open up God's Word after we've honored His Son and worshiped Him, because He surely does deserve that, and we surely do need this. So I want to talk to you at the beginning here today about photosynthesis. Hang with me. Now, there's probably a handful of people here today who would get excited about this. But if you're like me, the rest of you are like me, this is something you remember being covered in science class, and you had to learn it, and you sort of got it, and since then, you've not thought about it. But I want you to think about it. It's incredible. So a plant, get on this side, a plant absorbs moisture from the ground, which nourishes the plant. It also absorbs minerals from the ground, which gives the plant health. But most importantly, a plant absorbs sunlight. And not just plants, there's bacteria and some algae that actually do this too. And these three things, the sunlight, the moisture, and the minerals, make for a healthy plant. But that's not the end of it. A plant gives off oxygen, which all of us who are humans breathe, that gives us life, and animals breathe the oxygen from the plants, and that gives them life. But in addition to that, the plant also takes that sun energy and stores it, and it becomes glucose, becomes sugar. And animals eat the plant, and they take in that energy, that sugar. Or we humans eat the plant and it nourishes us. Or we eat another animal that has eaten on plants and that energy is passed on to us. Isn't that remarkable? That light gives life to this plant, and in turn that plant passes on life. That is just a fundamental thing about nature, about living things in its relationship to light. So as you're thinking about photosynthesis and you're marveling at it, listen to the words of John chapter 1, or turn and read those with me. In verse 4 and 5, then down in verse 9 and 10, as in John's gospel, he's introducing us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 1, 4, he writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then down in verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Here we find a great announcement, and that is the light has come to the world. That light being not physical light like we see demonstrated in photosynthesis, but light represents Christ. And when that light came to the world, this was the light that brought life. What a great announcement that the Son of God has come. But of course, these verses also talk about how people responded to that light. And that's what we want to look at. So our text this morning is over in John chapter 3. Starting in verse 16, but we're focusing down through verse 21. John 3, 16 to 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now, it's John 3:16 that we oftentimes read and we quote and we study and we comment on, and understandably so. It is a towering statement in all of the scriptures. And so much of the rest of the scriptures orbit around the thought of John 3:16. But sometimes we can overlook the rest of what he had to say to Nicodemus, John 3:16. And that's where I want you to focus this morning. The purpose of Christ coming, according to what he says in Nicodemus, was to come to the world to save the world. In that, he means the people of the world. He will one day return in judgment, but his initial mission was to bring salvation. And actually, it's in his initial mission to bring salvation that there is baked into that a judgment. Because he states here that those who responded to Christ were those who would believe in him, and they're not judged, but those who have rejected belief in him are judged already. They're condemned already. By rejecting him, they've already judged themselves and been condemned. And then he continues this idea of people's response to him. And he uses this metaphor of light that John brought up in his introduction of the Christ. To illustrate this, he speaks of himself being the light and explains people's different reactions to the light. And he's saying here that when a person is living in sin, they avoid the light because they don't want their sins exposed. And we understand that light does that. Light does a lot of different things. And one of the things that it does is that it makes everything easier to see. The more light you cast on something, the clearer you see it. And in that sense, people don't come to the light because that light exposes who they are, how they're living, and exposes their sin. Now, we're accustomed to thinking, I want you to hang with me, we're accustomed to thinking about, well, you come to Christ because you have sins. You come to Christ to have those sins forgiven, and that's true. And in a way, that's what Jesus is saying here. This is where that second part comes in. Jesus says, well, those who do come to the light, come to the light so that they can see that their works are carried out in God. So consider this in light of the rest of the New Testament. This is not talking here in verse 21, whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In light of this and the rest of the New Testament, this is not talking about a sinless person coming to Christ. Okay, you got sinners who won't come to Christ because they have sin and they want to stay in the dark. And then you got people who don't have sin, so that's why they come to Christ. No. First of all, there's nobody who can come to Christ without sin. We've all sinned. Rather, what is behind this is that there are some people who are in sin and they don't want the sin exposed, so they stay out of the light. There are others who will come to the light for the very purpose of being people who can be transformed and be the people of God. You see, Jesus came preaching immediately, we're told in Matthew and Mark's gospel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For you see, this is one of the first works of God in our life. One of the first works carried out by God that we can do is to come to him in repentance. So we come with our sins and we lay them out and let the light expose those sins so we can have the mess cleaned up. Have you ever tried to clean a dirty room with no light? You can't do it. And sometimes it's when you pull those shades or blinds or put in more light bulbs, you're like, ooh, I didn't realize how dusty and dirty this room was. So this is the person who comes to the light, not without sin. Nobody can come to Christ without sin. This is the person who comes to Christ and says, I want to expose myself to your light, and I want to come in repentance so I can be transformed, be forgiven, and God can begin to change me for me to become the kind of reborn person that I need to be. And it's in this conversation with Nicodemus earlier in this chapter that Jesus talks about being reborn. We come to Christ for his light so we can become reborn people. So those are the two reactions. But I want you to think about three reactions to the light of Christ that are found within these two. Three possible responses. One Jesus plainly talks about, and that is avoiding the light. You know, there are these things we call nocturnal creatures. They're mice and cockroaches and crickets and bats and beavers and moles and raccoons and opossums. Or in the mountains, we just call them possums. They're nocturnal creatures. They thrive in the dark. And just as creatures that some of the ones like I just named, they have certain attributes that enable them to navigate the darkness. Things with their hearing and their eyes and their senses and things like that. We humans, we adopt mechanisms to help us navigate without light. We refuse to look at ourselves in the light of Christ, and we create our own realities. Because when you're in the darkness, you can't see things, so you've got to sort of imagine the way they are, right? So when we don't come to Christ for forgiveness and salvation and transformation, we're in the darkness. And to adapt to that, what we have to do is that we have to use our imaginations. And we justify our sins. We deny our sins. Or we define what is right and wrong to accommodate ourselves. And just like a mouse or a raccoon will scurry when you turn the light on, when a person doesn't want their sins exposed, they keep away from the light and they scurry back into the darkness of their own thinking, which is distorted. This explains some things. Jesus helps us to understand people here. Jesus helps us to understand ourselves here. Sometimes we want to create complicated reasons why people respond the way they do to Christ. And sometimes we even want to describe situations. Well, you know, they experienced this, or their parents were like this, and they had this happen to them. But this is why people avoid Christ. Because Christ is light. And that light exposes our sins. I mean, do the words of Jesus, don't they help us here understand even why some people don't want to pick up the Bible and read the scriptures and consider it? Because there's powerful light coming from these scriptures. And do not these words of Jesus help us understand why people even dodge coming to the worship and Bible study? Because there's a whole lot of light being shined in these gatherings. And it exposes us, doesn't it? I want you to see that in avoiding the light, that there's another aspect to this at a practical level. And you even see this demonstrated in various people who come to Jesus and interact with Jesus while he's on earth. And that is, they approach the light, but then they deflect it or pull back from it. You know, light illuminates, it exposes, but it also attracts. Lights get your attention. That's why they put them on rescue vehicles. That's why inside of a building, if there's an emergency, lights go off and flash. That's why on the dashboard, you have lights when there are problems with your car. Light communicates something. It gets our attention. But here's the thing. The closer you get to that light, the brighter it gets. That's the nature of light. The closer you get it, the stronger effect it has on you, the further away you get from it. As you pull back from light, there's less illumination, less exposure. It's like walking outside your house on a bright day. All of a sudden, your house is sort of dark and you step out on a bright day. And the sky is bright, so you put on a cap to cover your, a visor to cover your eyes, or you put on sunglasses. Or you're driving at night in a car on a country road and another car approaches and they have their brights on. And you flip down your visor, or you sort of look to the side of the road, or you hold your hand up so you can see the road. You're trying to deflect that light. Sometimes a person will approach the light of Christ because they see the attraction of it. They're affected by the power of it. But as they approach that light, they get uncomfortable. And so they try to shield themselves from it. They try to pull away from it. It's like walking on a street, either on a bright sunny day or walking on a street, and there's a really powerful street light right there. And that sun or that street light is just so powerful that you step to the side into a doorway of a building and there's the light falling on the street, but you get back in the doorway so it doesn't shine on you, or you step back into an alleyway. You're right there near the light, but you just can't handle the exposure. You don't want the exposure, so you duck into a darkened place. There are people who know they need the light. And they'll even be attracted to it, and they'll get closer to it. But then they become petrified because of the exposure. They may even attend church gatherings where people talk about God and the scriptures are read and there's teaching from the Bible and there's teaching about Christ. But they have mechanisms where they duck back into a doorway or they pull themselves back into an alleyway so that they shield themselves from full exposure to the light. And sometimes they get near that light because there are some things coming from Christ that make them feel good. There are some hopeful things about it. And there are some things even when they look at what Christ is saying and they look at them, their lives, and they're like, hey, yeah, I feel good about that. I look good in light of, you know, that part of what Christ is teaching me. But then there's a certain area that gets exposed and they pull back and they duck into the darkness. You know what? That's a miserable state to be in. The first one we're talking about here, avoiding the light, there's a lot of self-deception when it comes to that. But the second state, and I'm going to use a modern expression in our vernacular and in our society, there's a lot of self-hurt. There's a lot of self-wounding in that second state. You get just enough close to the light where you feel the exposure and you don't run away completely from it. You keep sort of ducking in and out with it. But as a result, it just makes you miserable. It's just enough light to feel the pain of your sins, but not enough to experience the healing that can come if you put yourself completely into the light. Terrible state to be in. It's sort of like having a very serious wound and it's bleeding. And you know it's a very serious wound that's bleeding. And so you go to the hospital and you step into the ER and you even give him your name and you sit down in a seat, and just in a matter of a minute or two, they start calling your name. Come back and let a doctor look at you, and you don't go. You just stay in your seat. Because you know you need to be there. You sort of know that somebody needs to help you. But you just can't bring yourself to go in there and hop up on that exam table and submit yourself to the treatment. And so you just sit there in that ER waiting room until you bleed out. Isn't that tragic? Just literally to perish steps away from help. And that's the state of a person who gets near the light, but they don't really step into it for treatment. But of course, Jesus talks in verse 21 about those who come to the light so that the work of God can be carried out in them. And we know what that work is. Jesus calls us to repentance, and Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again. And this is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to absorb the light. Sometimes we talk about walking in the light and so forth. We sang this morning about send the light. There's so many different facets to light in God. It's remarkable, isn't it? I want you to think about absorbing the light. It's like those plants you buy and it comes with a little tag that says full sun. There's some plants that thrive on full sun. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in John 3, verse 21. The person who says, give me the full sun. Yeah. The full Son of God, who is the true light. This is a person who wants all the light they can get because they know they need the light so they can change and grow into the person that God would have them to be. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, verse 16, when Jesus uses light there, he says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The idea there about light is reflection. People look at us, but they actually just see the good in us that comes from God, and they don't give us the glory, they give God the glory. And you've heard teachers and preachers talk about this text and talk about how that this is like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. The moon gives off no light. The moon generates no light. All it is a dead stone that reflects the light of the sun on the other side of the earth. And that we can also be like that. We can reflect the light of God and people can give God the glory for it. And that's a biblical concept, that we are here to reflect the light of God. But here's a biblical concept too about light. There even is more about light in God than that. And it's back to what John was writing about in John 1, where he says of Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this is what Jesus says over in John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's photosynthesis. You take my light and you have life in you. That's what these... Who can count them, right? Here, right now in North Carolina, who can count all the plants? The trees, the bushes, let's just make up a word, the gazillions of plants. They all teach us this. Absorb the light from God and have life. Christ came and said, I am the light. Absorb me and have life. That's how God gives us life. To have life, you got to have light. To have spiritual life, to have the life from God, you've got to have His spiritual light. And God sent His Son to be that light. In his light, there is life. Let us see what this is teaching us. It's difficult to stand before the light of Christ. We see our sins, our flaws, our rebellions, our stubbornness, our ignorance, our wickedness, and on and on and on. But it's that experience of exposing ourselves to the light of Christ that is the path of life. If we submit to that light, we'll be transformed to life. We'll be transformed to a new life, to a better life, to real life that will spring forth within us. We think that somehow by avoiding this painful light of Christ that we're protecting ourselves. And the reality is we're denying ourselves the very thing that can bring us life. And there's more. Just as a plant absorbs light and then transforms that sunlight into energy, energy that is passed on to other living beings as they consume the plant and they consume the fruit of that plant, so it can be with us. The New Testament teaches us, in the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles and writers of the New Testament speaks of us bearing fruit as Christians. How do we do that? Look at an apple tree. Look at a berry bush. They take the light. They store that light. It becomes energy that can be passed on. The New Testament is teaching us to take that light and pass on life. Have you ever seen an apple tree eating an apple? Have you ever seen a blackberry bush eating blackberries? See how that works? The apples and the blackberries for other creatures to come along and nourish on that from that plant for life. That's how that plant gives life. And as Christians, when that light comes into us and it creates life in us, we can bear fruit and pass on that life to others. Incredible. The life that Christ creates in us and through His life that is conveyed to us through His light, we can take that light and live in such a way that we can pass on His truth and His grace. We can pass on His gospel to others. It becomes light to them and creates in them a new life from Christ. For you see, if you shun the exposure of the life of Christ, you cut off your source of life, of real life. And you'll have no real life to share with others. You can give them your opinions. You can leave them your money. But you're not going to give them real life. Because only that life comes from the light of Christ. Nature illustrates so much truth about God's truth, doesn't it? We just look at it. And in thinking about this, what came to my mind is something that I love to watch when it comes to animals. So we had some animals growing up. We had cows growing up. I used to work with the cows. And I've seen cows do this, but I know that other animals do it too. Like sheep will do it and dogs will do it. And that is, sometimes an animal has to be penned up. Maybe they're wounded or they're sick and they have to be brought indoors in a barn or something. And in some climates, animals are brought in really bad weather, sometimes for a few days or maybe for a few weeks or even some places months at a time. Animals are brought in and they're not able to roam out in the open and they're in these sheltered places and they're not out in the sunlight. And then something happens. The animal gets better, or it's the time of year where the climate is better and the sun is shining and the air is warming up and the grass is greening. And what do animals do? They frolic. And it's so fun to watch a cow run. And even to sort of leap. And sheep leap all the time. They don't know why sheep leap, but there are different reasons they've got these theories. But I know for sure, and you'll see dogs do this. They've been cooped up, and then you get them out. You know, and they will do that if the weather is overcast. But if it's a bright, sunny day, their leaps are even greater. Because those animals instinctively know that in that light, there is life. And they are enlivened by it. And they have a completely natural response. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to pump ourselves up with life via artificial means. Things that will never really give us peace and joy. It can be sinful things, or it can be just shallow earthly things that are morally just neutral, but they don't really give peace, joy. They don't really give life. But if we will run to the light, and if we will absorb that light, then we will become enlightened and enlivened. We will have a source of energy and joy and peace and satisfaction like no other. You have to come to Christ. You have to expose yourself to Christ and see all the ugliness. But then Christ will forgive you if you'll repent, and he'll transform you. And then you'll know. You'll know by the light of Christ what real life is. Because in his light, with the life he gives you, your soul can leap and run free. You can kick high because Christ has saved you and given you true life. And you'll know what real living is. The living that comes from the light of Christ. Brother Dave has another song for us. And as we sing this song and we think about what it's teaching us and we're expressing our worship to God, there could be a soul here who's in darkness, but you want to come to the light. Well, if you believe in Christ and you're willing to confess his name today, that he is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, come out of the darkness, come to the light, and know life. You can be baptized into Christ to walk in newness of life. Let's stand together and sing.